Is Genesis chapter 10 and is on page 11 of the Pew Bibles. This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. The sons of Japheth: Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer: Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan: Elisha, Tarshish, the Kittim, and the Rodanim. From these, the maritime peoples spread out into their territories by their clans within their nations, each with its own language. The sons of Ham: Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush: Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sebtica. The sons of Rama: Sheba, and Dedan. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and that is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in Shinar. From that land, he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh, Rehoboth-ir, Calah, and Rezin, which is between Nineveh and Calah. That is the great city. Mizraim was the father of the Luddites, Anamites, Lehabites, Naphtalites, Pathrusites, Casulahites, from whom the Philistines came, and Kaphtorites. Canaan was the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Zemarites, and Hamathites. Later, the Canaanite clans scattered, and the borders of Canaan reached from Sidon towards Gerar, as far as Gaza, and then towards Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim, as far as Lasha. These are the sons of Ham by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. Sons were also born to Shem, whose older brother was Japheth. Shem was the ancestor of all the sons of Eber. The sons of Shem: Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram: Uz, Hul, Gether, and Meshech. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah, and Shelah the father of Eber. Two sons were born to Eber. One was named Peleg, because in his time the earth was divided. His brother was named Joktan. Joktan was the father of Almadad, Sheleph, Hazarmaveth, Gerar, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were sons of Joktan. The region where they lived stretched from Mesha towards Sephar in the eastern hill country. These are the sons of Shem by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. These are the clans of Noah's sons, according to their lines of descent, within their nations. From these, the nations spread out over the earth after the flood. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, and can be found on page 12 of the Pew Bibles. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and bitumen up for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray, shall we? Oh, Father, thank you for your word to us. And we do pray that as we approach this new series in Genesis 10 through to 20, that you would speak to us, that you would show us just how amazing the fulfillment of your own commands and your promises are for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I do have those passages open in front of you in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. We've said from the front, I think, many times that all the names in the Bible have particular meanings. You'll be really glad to know I'm not going to go through the names in chapter 10 one by one, because that would keep us here until at least the end of the evening service. But we will be looking at chapter 10, a helicopter view of it, and chapter 11 as well. But as we start, who's heard of Oprah Winfrey? Quite a lot of us. American chat show host. And now far more famous in this country, at least, for interviewing Harry and Meghan 18 months ago. Well, she said this. She said, "The biggest adventure you can take is to live the life of your dreams." There you go. And who's heard of Dr. Seuss? Writes crazy kids' books that rhyme all the time. One of the lines in one of his crazy books that rhymes is this: "You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose." Yeah. And those kinds of sentiments are all over our world, aren't they? We live often by what is our dream? Follow it. Which direction do you want to take in life? Go for it. How can we live our best life now? That's quite a saying at the moment, isn't it? You hear it all over the place. Living your best life now. How can we do that? How can we be happy and fulfilled in our life? How can we live as authentic people, living an authentic life that is in tune with the diversity of people around us and with the amazing creation God has put us in? How can nations be at peace with one another? That's not the case all the time, and we're very much in the news, isn't it? Nations are not at peace with one another, never have been. Is the vision of the United Nations enough? The United Nations Charter, Article 1, Part 3, says this: "The United Nations exists to achieve international cooperation in solving international problems of an economic, social, cultural, and humanitarian character." Well, it's been around since the 1950s. Has it succeeded? I'll let you decide. What about a single united humanity working for the good of all human beings and for the benefit of the planet? If that were to ever come about, would that solve all of our problems? Would that help us to live our best life now, to live a life of rich blessing? Would a united humanity allow us to do that? Well, Genesis chapters 10 to 20 is going to show us that that desire is a wonderful desire. And it's a desire that's in line with God's commands. But Genesis chapter 10 to 20 is also going to show us that the way God is going to fulfill all of this for us is just way beyond what we could imagine. Just in the amazingness of that fulfillment and in the way he chooses to do it. So hang on to your hats for Genesis chapter 10 to 20. We're going to be in these chapters this month, and then in November for some of the month, and I think in January and March as well. So we're going to come back to it, because we thought that Genesis chapter 10 to 20 all in one go would be, you know, you'd need a bit of spiritual Rennies or something afterwards. So we're going to have breaks so we don't get spiritual indigestion with Genesis 10 to 20, but we'll be in it on and off over the next few months. And today, we're picking the story up, and we've already seen, haven't we, where we are in Genesis. We're picking it up, and we're going to see what happens. Now, when Sally read chapter 10, do we think that people were filling the earth? Were they fulfilling that command? Were they obeying God's command to be fruitful and multiply? What do we think? Yeah, they were, weren't they? Did you know that all the commentaries tell us that there are 70 different names there? And I thought, always fact check. Always fact check. Always make sure that what somebody else tells you is actually the right thing. So I have on my laptop at home now a spreadsheet with one column, and it starts with the generation after Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and lists all of the people. I have no repetitions there. And guess how many rows I get down? 70. Now, 70 is an important number in the Bible, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But yes, God's command of to people of being fruitful, multiplying, and filling the earth does look like it's being fulfilled, doesn't it? So let's dig in a little bit into chapter 10 and explore that, shall we? So chapter 10, and I've called this Filling the Earth, Filling the Earth. And Harry, that's where we are on the slide at the moment, which is the one that says Filling the Earth at the top. Loads of names, 70 names. 70 is a number of fulfillment in the Bible. How many days did God take to create the earth in Genesis 1? Seven. Seven is the number of fullness, of completion. It's done. Seven comes up a number of times in the Bible as the complete number. The churches in the beginning of Revelation, there's the seven churches at the beginning of Revelation, and John writes Jesus' words to seven churches. Seven being the fullness, all the church. That's why we read Revelation today. 70, then, this is like the fullness, but on steroids, isn't it? This is really complete. This is a table of all the nations of the earth. It represents everybody. It represents the heads of the nations that have led to the people we have on earth today. And the people were indeed filling the earth. That they were building cities, they were creating culture, they were founding nations, they were breaking off into different ethnicities with different skills and different desires amongst them all. This was good. God commanded humanity to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And this is happening in Genesis chapter 10. Have a look with me at verse 8. We'll just home in on verse 8, and we'll see a little snapshot of the kind of thing that's going on. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. Cush was the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, those of us who have been aware of the RAF over the years will know that there was a fighter jet called the Nimrod. Nimrod's named after him. Just like a fighter jet, this Nimrod in the Bible was a hunter before the Lord, a hunter on the earth. He's subduing the earth, isn't he? As God had commanded. Verse 10, the first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Uruk, Akkad, and Calna in Shinar. He's building cities. He's building communities. This is good. He's beginning to spread out and he's beginning to create places for people to live, different places, filling the earth. And I take it that all of the other people named here are doing similar things. They're filling other parts of the earth. Verse 11, from that land he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh, Rehoboth-ir, Calah, and Rasen, which is between Nineveh and Calah, which is the great city. A great city, a big place, a place full of people, full of culture, full of people learning to play musical instruments and paint pictures and create statues and build ornate buildings and do all the things that you do to create a great city. All of these things were going on. This was good. This was what God had commanded. It's obedient to his double command, first of all to Adam and Eve, and then to Noah and his sons, to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth with more people. Many nations and ethnicities, but one humanity under God. There's one people, isn't there? There's one type of thing called human being. But so much diversity amongst us. And praise God, we have lots of diversity of different cultures, different ethnicities at St. Andrew's and at St. Luke's and in our local area. This is good. This is reflecting God's good creation of lots and lots and lots of different people. So what's this got to do with us today? Well, if we've seen, haven't we, that what was going on in Genesis 10 was a good thing. It was good that lots of more people were being born, were being raised, that these people were creating places, were building communities, were inventing culture. Good stuff. It's great when that goes on today. It's brilliant when we have things like Faith on Friday and the men's coffee morning off to the cafe at Drewton's, where we have growth groups, where we have a toddler group, we have children's and youth groups, we have all sorts of different things going on for everybody across our church and drawing people from the community in. This is good. It's brilliant that we have musicians. We have people who can make things. We have people who can draw things. We have writers, we have inventors, we have all sorts of different people bearing the image of God in being creative and doing amazing things in our world. We have people who grow stuff, cucumbers and tomatoes and peppers and all sorts, to name but some. Lots and lots of different things going on. This is wonderful. Keep it up. Let's do more of it. Let's be Christians who grow community, who grow culture under God's good rule. Let's develop good culture. There's so much in our culture that we as Christians, we look at and we think, oh my goodness. Let's be part of praying for and being involved in developing good Christian obedient culture to God. It's great stuff, isn't it? It's brilliant. And praise God for the diversity of humanity that he's created. We've got people from different countries, different continents, worshipping here in St. Andrew's Church, coming together as one people in Christ. But lots and lots of diversity. Praise God for that. And when we go on holiday to somewhere else, praise God for the diversity there is there that we see. This just shows God's amazing creativity. This is a good thing. Diverse ethnic groups, diverse races, diverse cultures. This is wonderful. Praise God for it. Value people from different places in our church family here. Praise God that he's brought them to us. Praise God that he's brought us to his church too. All of us. And let's carry on populating the world where that's possible for us. For many, that's not possible anymore, but encourage people who are having babies. Help them. Give them advice. Give them help. Help bring up children within the church to know Jesus and to be the next people who will be creating culture and community and will be creating places. This is great. Let's do it more and more and more. Praise God for it. But was all well back then? What is all well now? Did things work out perfectly? Why are there intractable divisions within God's glorious, diverse humanity? Why do nations rage against nations? Why do people from different cultures argue with one another? Why does this happen? Well, chapter 11, God's gracious judgment. Chapter 11, God's gracious judgment. And let's move on to the next slide for that. We don't often think about God's judgment being gracious, do we? But let's look back to the Garden of Eden again, where God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden so they didn't live forever separated from him. So they had opportunities to come back to him in repentance and faith. Again, in chapter 11, we see God's gracious judgment. Look with me at verse 1. Now the whole world had one language and one common speech. As people moved eastwards, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Now that leaves us with a problem, doesn't it? Because we've just read in chapter 10 that there were lots of different cultures being formed, presumably with different languages, and they were spreading out across the world. And yet here we read at the beginning of chapter 11 that the people were all together. How do we square that circle? Well, I think the best reading of chapter 10 and chapter 11 is this, that chapter 11 historically, chapter 11 verses 1 to 9, historically comes before chapter 10. So why did Moses write chapter 10 where he did? Why did he include the Table of Nations before the Tower of Babel? Well, I think it's this. I think it's because he wants us to see, God wants us to see, that that there is a massive number of different people across the earth. And then he answers the question, how did that happen? So there is a massive number of people. How did that happen? And we're into chapter 11, verses 1 to 9 to discover how. So, verse 3, the people said to each other when they were gathered together before chapter 10 happened, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. If you bake a brick thoroughly, you've got a really strong, hard brick. And they use brick instead of stone because they're square and they build better. And bitumen for mortar. Why bitumen? Because it's really, really, really sticky. And anybody who's ever had kids or worked with children or been a child, which is all of us, we know, don't we, that if you build a tower or build anything with strong bricks and really sticky stuff, it's going to hold together. They wanted to build something that would last, that wasn't going to blow down when the wolf came along and blew it. It was going to stay there. Verse 4, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Sounds good, doesn't it? They want a city. God told them to fill the earth, but they're all together, don't forget. With a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Well, humanity had become proud of its potential. Look what we can do. We can do this, so we're going to do it. We're going to make a name for ourselves. But what were they supposed to be doing? They were supposed to be filling the earth and glorifying God, making a name for him. And yet here is humanity gathered together disobediently to God, wanting to make a name for themselves. They didn't want to fill the earth. Rather, they wanted to be brilliant. Otherwise, we read, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. There we go. Otherwise, we'll have to obey God's command. We don't want to do that. We want to resist God's command, said the people gathered together. We want to make a name for ourselves and stick together. And we are proud of what we might be able to achieve for ourselves. And disaster led that way. Disaster led the way of people ignoring God's commands. Disaster lay the way of people being proud of their potential. So, verses 5 to 7, God kindly confounded their language to stop them from building. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city. You know, the picture there, the way the language works there is that you've got this massive God who's made this earth as part of his creation, a small part of his creation. And there's a pinprick of a people on this creation, on this globe, who are building this pimple of a tower, and God has to kneel down and get his magnifying glass out to see this tiny weeny tower that the people are so proud of. They think it's brilliant, but God sees it as a pimple. But the Lord says, come, let us see this city and the tower that the people are building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. He knew that if the builders can understand the foreman, if they can read the plans, if they can talk to each other, then they can build what they like. They can do anything. And they can keep walking away from God and becoming more and more hard-hearted as they go. But God knew that if the bricklayers can't understand the bitumen stirrers, and the people who made the plans can't talk to the foreman and so on, then they can't possibly build a tower. It won't even be like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, will it? It just won't exist. They can't do it. Verse 7, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. This is a gracious judgment. It's stopping people from walking away from God forever and drawing them back, humbling the people who were proud of their potential, saying to them, don't go your way, go my way. Don't do that, do this. Almighty God stooped down to tiny humanity who were trying to be like him. Echo of the fall. Echo of the fall's judgment. Verses 8 to 9. So the Lord scattered them from there over the face of the earth. And we have chapter 10 explained, don't we? Chapter 10, we thought without chapter 9 that chapter 10 was people doing a great job and obeying God. But actually, chapter 10 is God forcing people to do what he knew was best and to complete the task of filling the earth, saying, no, your job is to fill the earth with little copies of yourselves. Go do it, and this is how you're going to do it, and I'm going to stop you from not doing it. I'm going to cause you to obey me, because that is good, says God. And they stopped building the city. God ended their rebellion. Verse 9, that is why it was called Babel, because the Lord there confused the language of the whole world. There's a lot of wordplay going on there, isn't there? Babel, Babel, that's where our word to babble comes from. Baby babbles, you might hear a foreign language as sounding like babbling because you don't understand it. And the word Babylon comes from this too. And the place Babylon stands in the Bible as a sign of everything that is a sign of everything that is against God and set up against him. We find Babylon again in the book of Revelation, where God finally judges all rebellion against him, and it's gone. The people were scattered. Chapter 10's explained. And it came historically after chapter 11 as a gracious judgment from God. So what's this got to do with us today then? Well, we live in a crazy world, don't we? A crazy world of division, of hatred, of misunderstandings, of arguments, of people just not getting each other. But God is still in charge. The diversity of cultures and of ethnicities and of nations is God's idea. This is good to fill the earth, to fill it with the pinnacle of his creation. this is good. So let's praise God for his kindness in creating lots and lots and lots of different types of people from all over the world. What about the repairing of divisions? Well, we get a hint of how that restoration is going to happen in Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2. You'll know in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples who were hiding in an upper room. They didn't want to see anybody a few weeks after Jesus' resurrection because they were scared, petrified of what might happen. Would they get strung up too? The Holy Spirit comes upon them when the feast, a Jewish feast of Pentecost, is happening in Jerusalem with people from all over the known world who come to Jerusalem speaking their different languages and things. And the disciples are given all the languages to speak. They hadn't learned them, but God miraculously gave them these different languages to speak so that they could speak the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to all the world. And thousands of them became believers in Jesus that day and were brought into God's new humanity. Not one gathered around a man-made tower, but one gathered around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, we learn that God is removing the dividing wall of hostility between peoples. That's why in St. Andrews, we can have people from the UK, people from Wales, from Scotland, from Ireland, from England, from other European countries, from Eastern Europe, from Africa, from Asia, and from probably Australia and New Zealand, all over the place. All one in Christ Jesus, brought together in a new humanity, not by our own human doing, but by God's miraculous gift. Praise God that he's building this new people for himself. The human condition tempts us to build a name for ourselves, but we're to glorify God, aren't we? We're to glorify him, not to build a name for ourselves. So let's be people who do that. Our desire is to see the United Nations, the EU, the UK, or whatever other treaty might be signed as a panacea for all of the wrongs in the world. Or maybe we see charities as the way that the problems of the world will be sorted out. God says, no, I will do it. And the rest of our series in Genesis chapter 10 to 11, we're going to see how God will choose his own way of creating a new humanity in his way and will bless us way beyond what we could possibly create for ourselves. And how he began to draw people to Jesus, and therefore how he has drawn us to know Jesus too. So to misquote both Oprah and Dr. Seuss, the biggest adventure you can take in life is to live the life of God's plans. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your heart. You have God's spirit. You have feet in your shoes, rather. You have God's spirit in your heart. So live the way God will choose. Let me pray. Our Father, we praise you for your goodness to us. Please help us to live your way in your world, trusting you to sort out our problems. Amen.